One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series speaking about how the church can end abortion, how pro-lifers in the church can end abortion and protect every innocent human life. And one question we must ask to begin with is, should Christians be working to end abortion and protect innocent human life? Is this something that Christians and the church should actually take up? And we will look today, first of all, at the sanctity of human life and why human life should be protected at every stage of development, beginning all the way from the beginning. And first, we will look at the science. We're told, and we've heard this phrase quite a bit in the last 2 years, listen to the science. And on some subjects, the science seems to change from day to day. And on other times, we've seen that there are certain people that don't want to listen to the science on certain subjects. And one of those subjects is abortion, because the science is actually clear. On day one, this is the beginning of life, is fertilization, or sometimes it's called conception, but legally we really need to use the word fertilization, because doctors have actually redefined conception to not mean fertilization, but to actually mean implantation. So when the preborn child is implanted into the mother's womb, that is when they say that conception actually happens. And what does this do? Well, this means that you can kill the child prior to that. It also means that you can create human life through you've heard of test tube babies being created, and that those babies can actually be experimented on, because they haven't been implanted into the mother's womb yet. Conception hasn't happened. So if our laws define human life as beginning at conception, then we have a problem. We can't protect the human life that's being created in laboratories for the purpose of experimentation and for the purpose of destroying that human life later on. And scientists have, by the way, and they are experimenting on human life. They're creating human life and mixing animal and human genes. We've seen part cow, part humans. We've seen actually glow-in-the-dark embryos that scientists have created by taking a portion of a jellyfish and mixing it with a human embryo and creating glow-in-the-dark embryos that they then destroy a few days later. We shouldn't allow our laws, our society should not allow such experimentation with human life. Human life is also created for the purpose of extracting stem cells and then destroyed. And one day we may actually see human life being created and cared for all the way to birth, and even after birth, for the purpose of harvesting organs. You think this could never happen? Well, let me tell you, there are scientists that would love to see it happen. And we need to establish laws that protect every innocent human life. From this earliest beginning, we see that there is actually marvelous things that happen. And scientists even say that there's a flash of light that happens right there at fertilization. Dr. Jaime Gordon from the Mayo Clinic said, by all the criteria of modern molecular biology, life is present from the moment of conception. Dr. McCarthy, the mirror of the University of Tennessee, says the exact moment of the beginning of personhood and of the human body is at the moment of conception. Planned Parenthood often calls preborn baby girls and boys blobs of tissue. But Dr. Jerome Juni, the father of modern genetics, says this, I see no difference between the early person that you were at conception and the late person that you are now. You were and are a human being, and at no time is the human being a blob of protoplasm. We know that Planned Parenthood also will use terms like fetus to describe the preborn child and to doing this in a manner to actually dehumanize the baby. But what we see, the word fetus actually from Merriam-Webster's medical dictionary says a developing human from usually 3 months after conception to birth. So it's just a scientific term that describes a gestational phase. You know, we talk about infants, toddlers, there are different adolescents, there are different levels of development of humans, and fetus is simply a level of development. It's a period of time and a certain aspect of development that actually happens within that time. By day 7, the tiny human implants into the mother's uterus. And again, this is where some scientists have, I don't think the scientists that we quoted today, but some of the scientists have actually redefined conception to mean implantation, or when the baby implants into the mother's womb. But that is not what it should mean, and that's why we use the term fertilization. But we see here, this happens at around day 7. By day 21, the preborn baby's heart is actually beating her own blood through a separate closed circulatory system with oftentimes her own blood type. By the 28th day, the eye, ear, and respiratory system begin to form. At 42 days, the brain waves can be recorded, reflexes are present, and the skeleton is complete. By 7 weeks, the baby can be seen sucking their thumbs. Fetal development, by 8 weeks, all body systems are present. There was actually a preborn delivery or early delivery at 8 weeks that was witnessed by Paul E. Rockwell, medical doctor. He was handed the sack of a baby with the baby inside of it at 8 weeks gestation. He said that the baby swam about the sack approximately one time every second. When the sack was opened, the tiny human immediately lost his life. Now, there probably will come a time where we will be able to care for babies at that age, or maybe have an artificial womb. This is one thing that scientists have actually been working on. Part of the reason they're working on it is for homosexual males that don't have a womb, to actually be able to care for their own or have their own child. Of course, they don't have the egg either. They need a woman for that as well, But even though sometimes some of the technology may be used wrongfully, it still would be good to be able to protect human life that for some reason can't stay in the womb for a longer period of time. A friend of mine on Twitter, Lynn Noe, L-Y-N-N-N-O-E is her call name, tweeted to me that she was blessed to go to the ultrasound for her next grandbaby at 10 and a half weeks and was amazed to see all the movement and features. At 11 weeks, the preborn child has fingernails, spontaneous breathing movements, and all body systems are not only functioning but working. At 12 weeks, the preborn child weighs only 1 ounce, but again is fully human. At 16 weeks, the genital organs are clearly differentiated. The baby can grasp with the hands and swims, kicks. Ask any mother that has been had a child in her womb. They know the baby kicks, turns, and does somersaults. At 18 weeks, the vocal cords can work, and the baby can actually cry at 18 weeks in the womb. At 20 weeks, the baby weighs 1 pound and is 12 inches long, has hair on her head. 20 weeks pregnant with twins. This is an article actually on LifeSite News. There's an article called 20 Weeks Pregnant with Twins, but last week she had an abortion at Orlando Women's Center. And by the way, I don't recall 100% whether it's Orlando Women's Center, but there is an abortion mill in Orlando that does actually advertise on their website that they perform third trimester fatal fetal anomaly abortions. Why? Because pro-life legislators have put that exception into bills. And it's one way that they can legally kill preborn children even up to the moment of birth. Right before birth, they can actually do an abortion. The abortionist can determine that this baby has a fatal fetal anomaly and needs to be killed. And they can legally do this because pro-life, quote-unquote pro-life legislators have placed this exception into the laws. By 23 weeks, preborn children have a 15% chance of viability outside the womb if born prematurely. By 25 weeks, only 2 weeks later, they have a 79% chance of surviving outside the womb. Dr. Lyle, who is a former board member of Personhood Florida, actually does surgeries and has performed surgeries, and he's not the only one. There are many other doctors that have performed surgeries on babies in the womb. And one thing that he talks about is this one mother that actually went to a Toby Mac concert in the panhandle, and she was dancing and she was having a good time, and all of a sudden her water broke and she was rushed to the hospital. One of her preborn children was actually born. She had two of them in there. The other one stayed in the womb. The other one didn't have the sac burst. The other one stayed in the womb. So she had one baby that they were caring for out of the womb in a neonatal unit. The other one was still in her womb in another nursery where it was being cared for. And what Dr. Lyle said is just ironic, is that the baby that was in the neonatal nursery had rights, was considered a person, and had legal rights and cannot be killed or murdered. But the baby inside the mother's womb, that mother could actually choose to go and have an abortion and have that baby's arms and legs ripped off, her skull crushed, and have the baby killed, and could legally do so. This is wrong. And we're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible testifies concerning life. And first we see that human beings are created in God's image in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. So human beings are created in God's image. And this is true, by the way, not only of Adam and Eve. We'll see as we go on that God has created all humans in his image. This is even the reason that God instituted the death penalty. There are some that say the death penalty is wrong, but God actually instituted the death penalty because humans are created in his image. And in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, we read, "Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." So we see that all men, not just Adam and Eve, but everyone that has been come after that, has been created in God's image. And because of this, we actually see that human life should be protected, even to the point if someone takes your life or takes someone else's life, the biblical penalty should be the death penalty. Why? To prevent murder, to save life, to actually keep, to actually put a deterrent for those who actually would think about taking someone else's life. The psalmist said that he was formed by God in his mother's womb. In Psalm 139, beginning of verse 12, we read, "Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and secretly wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So even from the moment of conception, and even as this baby was forming, we see that not only was just the baby forming, but God was the one that was forming the baby, and that God had a plan for this baby's life, and that God had already ordained how that child should live, and it even ordained that this child would be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We see that Jeremiah was actually called a prophet from his mother's womb in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. "Behold, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations." So God, if God sees the preborn child as human, someone that he is, by the way, forming and knitting and has plans for in the future, if God can actually call someone from the womb as a prophet, then certainly we should see that human beings should be protected, even in the womb. We see also that John the Baptist was actually filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. In Luke chapter 1, verse 15, we read, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." And then in verse 41, we read, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say if this is the moment in time that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is very likely that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit at this moment in time when Elizabeth also was filled with the Holy Spirit. We do know, though, that it was prophesied that the baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean, that shows you that this is a person, that this is a human being, that God has actually placed his spirit inside of this baby, even in the womb. And we see in Isaiah chapter 49, beginning of verse 1, that the Savior, Jesus, was actually called from the womb. Listen, O coastlands, to me. Take heed, you peoples, from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. So we see here, this is pretty awesome, that even though God, the Bible even tells us that God had planned from the foundation of the world to send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that God still called him from his mother's womb. He was still knit and formed, just like you, just like God formed and knit you in your mother's womb. God formed and knit Jesus in his mother's womb as well. We see that the apostle Paul, who did much damage to the church of Jesus Christ before his conversion, was actually called and separated for the gospel from his mother's womb. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning of verse 15, we read, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me, and me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So Paul, again, he was trying to serve God, but he was actually persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. Even with all that, he still was called from the womb. From the womb, he had a calling of God on his life. We see that the psalmist David, when he was lamenting and repenting of his sin, or committing adultery with Bathsheba, and actually also participating in the murder, calling for really setting up what looked like a, you know, natural war disaster against her husband Uriah. And by the way, before that, he even tried to set it up so that it would look like the baby was Uriah's baby, and he could go on living his life without people really knowing that he had committed adultery. But David was convicted. Then Nathan the prophet came to David and called him to repentance, and David did repent. And Psalm 51 is that prayer of repentance. And in that prayer of repentance, he says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now David talks about his, you know, in the womb in Psalm 139 about God forming him, God knitting him. He talks about this very, very good. He also talks about his mother being a maidservant of the Lord. Yet here he talks about being conceived in sin and being brought forth in iniquity. And there's a scriptural doctrine, a biblical doctrine, that says that we all are sinners from the very beginning, because we are sinners because Adam sinned and his seed passed through to Eve. And from that time, the male seed, sin is passed through with the male seed. And we'll read about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. When did we start being a sinner? We even were sinners inside of our mother's womb. Before we could even do good or bad, we still had that seed of sin because we had the seed from Adam, which went to Adam's children, which went to the male, and was passed through his male children to every other male child that has been born since then. In fact, even the women have this seed because they're created from the male seed as well. But the seed is this sin is passed through, not through the woman, but through the man. And we see this going on. Now, thank God that God has raised up another who actually is God himself, who died on the cross for our sins and has shed his blood so that we can be redeemed. And by the way, we can be redeemed no matter what you have done. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven even if you've been involved in abortion, even if you had an abortion yourself, if you were an abortionist, if you worked in an abortion clinic, if you do now, if you paid for someone to have an abortion, if you have pressured someone to have an abortion, or even advocated or drove someone to an abortion clinic, God can forgive you, repent of your sins, and cry out to him so that you can receive forgiveness from God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Crown him the Lord.